On this week's episode of Tea with the Changemakers, we're joined by Seb Barker, the co-founder of Beam. Beam is a crowdfunding platform that's been set up to help homeless people pay for job skills and training. Beam lets people donate money securely to fund specific employment qualifications for homeless people. We're talking to Seb today about homelessness and how Beam is supporting people to find employment, housing, and stability. Personally, I'm frustrated that homelessness is still an issue in 2022, and I think it's time to end it. Seb talks frankly with me today about homelessness and what we need to do as a society to finally make that change so that we're not having this same conversation in years to come. So hi Seb, thanks for joining us on Tea with the Changemakers this week. We like to kickstart all of our episodes just by really asking our guests to tell us a little bit about themselves. So fire away, over to you. Can you tell our listeners all about you?
For sure, yeah. Really nice to be on the podcast today. So my name is Seb. I am the co-founder of a social enterprise called Beam.org, which hopefully we'll chat a little bit more about today. And yeah, a bit about me. So I grew up in Cambridge and moved to London. So both pretty affluent cities, particularly London, but with really visible homeless problems that just got worse as I got older. So I was really shocked by all this, tried to help where I can, acting like a compassionate human being. So making the time to speak to people, occasionally buying the big issue. But ultimately, I know I'm becoming desensitized to the issue. I felt time is going on and I feel less, not more emotionally affected by the numbers of homeless people. And the small gestures I were making made no obvious difference at all. So when I moved to London around 2010, I was walking back from the city centre. Not a great sense of where I'm going, and just near Waterloo Station, actually, I came across not just a few people in sleeping bags, but an entire encampment of people. So I felt really, really shocked by this, signed up to volunteer as a homeless outreach worker, and have basically worked in homelessness pretty much ever since. And that led to the founding of Beam back in 2017 time, and I've been doing that ever since.
Thanks, Seb. I did just want to talk a little bit about your backstory. I know that you've worked for Thames Reach and you've been in the third sector for quite some time, and you've spent some time at Turning Point as well. So you've been really heavily involved in tackling the issue of homelessness.
Exactly right. Yeah, as I say, it was something which I think it's such a visible social problem. And for a lot of people, not just me, it's something they're deeply aware of as a result. So really, really early on wanted to kind of dedicate more of my life and time, I guess, to trying to work on this cause, and just immediately realized, I guess the first thing I realized, which maybe you know, maybe you don't, which is that a lot of the people that sleep on the streets are actually a very, very small percentage of the overall homeless population. So that was the first really shocking thing that I realized. Mm-hmm. About 90% of people are actually in B&Bs or hostels or temporary accommodation. And then there's even bigger group of people that are at risk of homelessness. So, you know, homelessness alone is about 300,000 people in England. So it really is an enormous issue.
Mm, it is a massive issue. And you talked about people becoming desensitized to the issue. What do you think the perception is overall of homelessness in the general population? And what is it that's desensitizing people to homelessness?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I guess it's very, very hard to know. Maybe it's more difficult for me in some ways because I spent so much of my time in the homeless support system. I can't really imagine what it looks like from the outside now. But you know, occasionally talking to friends or people you meet, I think there is this perception that homelessness is just people that sleep on the street. And moreover, that the people that are doing that are kind of doing it by choice and it's sort of their fault in some way. So there's a real stigma, I think, that exists around it.
Mm.
And so one of the things which we're trying to do at Beam is sort of really change that perception, I think.
Mm. No, and I do definitely want to talk about Beam because it's a fantastic organisation. You talked about stigma there. So tell our listeners a little bit about Beam. What is Beam?
Sure. So Beam uses technology to make it really easy for the public to help homeless people for the long term. So we take referrals for people who are struggling with homelessness from charities and also from government as well. And a caseworker then creates a public fundraising page for them on our website, which is beam.org. And that fundraising page removes all the barriers they face to getting out of homelessness, things they need for a job or their own home, like a deposit or maybe some vocational training. And we know that everyone using Beam will hit that funding target because we have a large group of people who donate every single month. And those donations are split equally between everyone who's fundraising. And most of those donors, it's really, really heartwarming. If you go onto the website and have a look, they leave these confidence building messages of support that get sent through with the donations directly to the homeless people. And these are often very heartfelt responses to that person's story. After they've hit that fundraising target, the caseworker stays very, very involved in supporting them. So we help them the rest of the way by buying the items on their behalf, finding a really great job or home that they can use to leave homelessness behind for good.
So when people do go onto the Beam website, they can expect to see people who are currently struggling or perhaps in need right now. And you've basically brought people's stories to life and you've really humanised them.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think one of the things that hopefully is immediately obvious when you go on to beam.org is that the numbers of people on there are united, sadly, by that common social problem of homelessness, but have all had such different walks in life. And of course, one of the biggest groups of homeless people are single parents, mainly single mums, who are in temporary accommodation. And so I think people coming on are often surprised to see that actually that's a group who don't have any permanent long-term housing and are really struggling. But then by building that direct connection with people, we can not only get the homeless people who need those different resources out of that situation, but perhaps just as importantly, really build connection and empathy between these otherwise very disconnected social groups of people that often want to help but don't know how. And of course, the tens of thousands of people that really need that help.
Mm. Lots of people do want to help. And one of the key barriers is a lack of understanding the stigma, as you say, attached to that. But also a lot of people in our research that we've done in this particular area, people are concerned about giving money to people, obviously those that are homeless and visible on the streets, because the classic classic comeback from that is, well, we don't know what they're going to spend their money on. Whereas something like Beam, you can see very clearly what people want and need and how and where that money goes. And do you think that really sort of helps to facilitate change in the right direction in terms of supporting people?
For sure. And I really think that building trust with the people that donate to Beam is super important. And we do that by being as kind of transparent as we possibly can. So on everyone's fundraising page, you can see exactly what they're fundraising for and even click into the individual items to find out where we're buying it from. We have a transparency page on our website, which tracks all of our outcome data in real time, from the numbers of people using Beam to the different outcomes they achieve around starting jobs or moving out of homelessness. I think that part of it is really important. I mean, sometimes I feel almost a bit uncomfortable with the idea that it's an alternative to giving to street beggars, for example, because it's sort of trying to do quite a different thing. It's about making a long-term investment in someone's future, and the short-term gestures, which perhaps you would need to make to people that are begging, don't have that long-term impact. But also the lack of trust that sometimes underpins that, and people that are like, oh, you don't want to give them money, they'll just spend it on drugs. You know, that's also probably something which contributes towards this stigma and sense of that group being more and more isolated. So, yeah, I think it's important to kind of highlight that it's not about trying to help that group in a different way. It's actually helping quite a different group in a different way.
Do you think it's important to do both, to perhaps in the moment when you're passing someone on the street, perhaps giving them a little bit of cash, but also thinking about how we can support displacement and homelessness long term?
Yeah, for sure. I'd really encourage people to look at the kind of wider homeless system that are interested in trying to help in that way. And I do think, you know, Beam is certainly one way to help homelessness. And it's quite an easy way, as I say, to have this fairly long-term investment in someone's future. But there's plenty of other organizations out there that do incredible work. And as I say, one of the first ways I got into it was through volunteering with a street homeless outreach team called London Street Rescue that was run by a charity called Thames Reach, and ended up working for that charity. And I think there was so much I learned through that volunteering, which I just didn't know before. And all of the charities are really keen to find more volunteers. So I'd encourage people who have the time and can make it to pursue that route.
So to give our listeners a little bit more of an understanding of what you do at Beam and how you do help, I've got a story here of how 57 members of the public donated a total of £858 to help a lady who had been sleeping on the streets for almost 3 years. She'd battled with depression and addiction and even considered taking her own life. But through Beam, you were able to provide her with a phone, a laptop, an Oyster card and some work clothes, and her life was turned around.
Yeah, really good question, of course. food and shelter are just such fundamental and important things for people to have. But as I say, in a very, very high number of cases now, people have access, at least in a temporary way, to those different bits and pieces, be that temporary accommodation or a food bank. And week to week, they can kind of get by, but that's not a great situation. It's not a situation anyone should be in, really. And so by investing in these other items, which, as you say, I feel quite different, but are also quite small and easy to remove, given the amount of public empathy that exists, that person can then help themselves find a job. We'll obviously connect them with the different employer partners that work with our service. So we'll be able to guarantee people interviews, support them into jobs. And of course, if they then have a job which they like doing, they feel aligns with their strengths and interests, if they're a parent, works around any childcare duties, they will have the independence through that income to be able to buy their own food and not be reliant on the food bank anymore, and find their own rental home, which we can also help some people with. And of course, when someone's in that situation, then it really is a much more long-term solution to the sort of short-term difficulties that they end up in. So I think it's about trying to sort of look at that problem in a slightly different way and think about how we can help someone beyond those immediate needs of shelter and food.
So you've been involved with Beam since 2017, Seb, and I bet you have more than a few success stories under your belt. I mentioned about a lady who received a laptop and work clothes earlier, but have you got a favourite story, Seb? So maybe one that stuck with you, motivates you on a daily basis, and perfectly sums up the great work that Beam does?
Yeah, it's hard to pick one out. There's so many. I myself supported the first 30 or so people that joined the Beam, and they're all kind of really remarkable in different ways. But there was particularly a guy called Stephen, who I met very, very early on before we'd even set up the website. I was really just kind of doing co-production, speaking to people who were currently homeless to understand how we could tailor Beam in a way that was really going to help them. And Stephen kind of came up to me after I talked to this group of people and said he really wanted to use Beam, but he couldn't at the moment. And I asked, well, why not? And he said, because I'm still smoking cannabis, and it's not just a bit, I'm actually smoking it every single day. Mm-hmm. And so I responded, well, look, firstly, it sounds like you feel you know that's a problem. So if you can get help with it, come back, and then we'll see what we can do. So sort of totally forgot about this conversation. A few months went by, my mobile rang, I answered it, and it was Stephen. And he was just really excited, saying, I'm completely drug-free. I'm here with my support worker from the Drug and Alcohol Services now. He handed the phone over to them. They were like, yeah, he's really, really well, been to all the groups. His recent tests are negative, so we can confirm that he's totally crossed that bridge. He joined Beam literally, you know, the week after, and was back in work a few months after that. So it really stuck with me, I suppose, partly because it highlights the sense in which you can make these really enormous personal changes when you have a clearer sense of the destination. And that really, really encouraged us to kind of design Beam's model in the way that it's ended up looking today. By telling people's story, we can, of course, reach people that want to help, but perhaps just as importantly, other people who are yet to receive that help. They can come on, they can see people like them who have not just started training, but have also got back into jobs or left homelessness. And the idea that you can see people like you making that positive change just means it's so much more likely that you're going to be able to take that first step yourself.
And Seb, you said already on the podcast so far that you spent a long time working on this issue, working with charities. You know, you're really, really close to this issue. And a bit like yourself, you know, I've become very frustrated over the years that we just don't seem to be able to solve this problem of homelessness. What do you think? How could we end homelessness for good? What's your view on that?
Yeah, I mean, I wish if I really knew the answer to that question, I would definitely be, I wouldn't be just sitting here sort of talking about it. I'd definitely be trying to do it. I mean, I do think part of it is kind of thinking about how we can use technology to help groups in ways that they're not helped at the moment. And we sort of talked a bit about how we're doing that at Beam through the fundraising, but also the community we build around people that provides them with the support and confidence they need to move forward. I think kind of beyond that, you need to look at these sort of wider systemic issues. And I think probably the biggest thing that springs to mind for me is this kind of think how we think about prevention and people becoming homeless. And there is a sense in public sector service design that we only really help people at the point they desperately need help. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things have to have gone wrong for someone at that point. And of course, that's a really bad time to try and help someone because there's so much more work to be done and it puts a huge strain on resources. So I think probably the main thing that would have by far the biggest impact would be to think about how can we reach people before that point. Mm. And we did a bit of work with an organization called Nesta last year around this, where it was trying to find people who might be searching for jobs, but disadvantaged in some ways, or accessing debt services, but hadn't yet got to the point where they'd gone to their council for help or become homeless, and try to help that group into jobs. And we got some really, really great stories and successes through that, which I think sort of speaks to the fact that actually there is the ability to do this if we just sort of, again, shift our perception slightly on who needs help and how we help them.
How long did it take to build a community and build the awareness of Beam?
For sure, yeah. So we were really, really, I guess, excited by the early signs of it working. So we helped maybe about 5 or 6 people, I'm going to say, set up their fundraising pages. And I remember we were sitting in our small kind of co-working space, and we were just so nervous about what was going to happen because we were thinking, well, if no one donates, you know, where do we go from here? We can't get people the items they need. Mm. And the first fundraising campaign that had gone up funded in less than 2 days. So really, really quickly. And all of them fundraised and hit their target in less than a month. Mm. So that was the first sign, actually, there was a desire to kind of help people in this way. And then really, yeah, it's just sort of spread ever since. So fortunately, we've not needed to spend lots and lots of money on marketing or doing grant applications to sort of top up people's fundraising targets. I think people have read about it a bit in the press. So doing kind of podcasts like this, or having stories of some of the people we've helped featured in the news, means that people will read about it, often come to the website and make a donation. I would really encourage anyone listening to this that wants to find out more, even just begin to help the homeless population in a slightly different way, to come on to beam.org. And yeah, even just a few pounds will make a massive difference to someone's life.
Yeah, absolutely will make a massive difference.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, also people just who do donate will get updates from the people they've supported. They often share them with friends and family. The friends and family will then tend to come and set up their own donations. So there's been a really fantastic way in which sort of organically grown that's meant that we've also been able to help increasingly more people year on year.
So obviously donations are key to Beam's success, and that's amazing to hear how people are willing to help. But if there are any policymakers listening, what's the one thing that you would like them to do that would help your organisation, but also change the system that's clearly broken?
I'd really encourage them to think about how we could use employment, but also work closely with services like Beam to see how we can help these groups of people who have been stuck for sometimes generations and locked out of the workforce. Mm. And how we can bring them through these wider social changes that we're currently going through. And often, you know, you look at processes like the job centre, and I think this seems to be reasonably effective for people who maybe have some work experience or sort of know what they want to do. But actually, for people who have been out of work 4 or 5 years, the numbers of people who are still not working there are in the millions. So I think there's a really untapped opportunity to look at how we can bring employers and more support to that particular group.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the areas that we focus on a lot here at Social Change UK is, and we work with a lot of addictions charities, and addiction is something very close to our heart as well. And I think a platform like this to support people to, you know, overcome addiction, to get the help and support that they need, which is so desperately needed and such in short supply. Addiction services is definitely a Cinderella service in this country. What's your thoughts on that? Could that perhaps be something else you could add to your support offer?
Yeah, absolutely. Would love to do that. Spent 3 years or so in addiction services, and the work that goes on there, I mean, it's just so transformative and incredible to see people often come in, you know, using drugs and alcohol every day. It's completely stripped away everything they have in their life. And through structured treatment, the really effective use of a key worker and someone that can kind of support them through both abstinence and then also sustaining that abstinence, People completely transform. And I think at that point, if we could really try and pick that group up and then also, as you say, kind of help them through that next step into a job and away from the networks that might draw them back into addiction, then it would be really, really vital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing that I found quite insightful when I did some research in this particular area a couple of years ago is that you can put the help and support in place for somebody. Get them the residential care and support, or, you know, most people understand that to be sort of rehab. But then once they leave rehab, putting people back in the place that they just come from without addressing some of those issues in the first place just means that you continue perhaps on that cycle and go back to square one, really. So it would be quite good if we could really think about this in a very holistic way, where we really support people on a longer journey and not just kind of these quick fixes or sticky plasters, really, that don't lead to sustained behaviour change or change at all.
Yeah, could not agree with that more. And yeah, it kind of touches again on that topic we were talking about earlier, where all of the different services are sort of set up to help people who are just at such a low point, and how can we stop them getting to that point or make sure that they never get there again?
Yeah, you talk about, I think it's quite reactive, actually. And one thing that's kind of struck with me from what you said today is this real need to be much more proactive, work upstream, think about how we can get there before it gets worse, so that people aren't in a position where, you know, they're in a very desperate situation. They find themselves sort of sofa surfing or, you know, in B&Bs or on the street. And, you know, we need to do stuff way in advance of those situations arising.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And that's still such an untapped area, although there are some commissioners and people in the public sector I've spoken to are very open-minded to this idea about how we do more around prevention. I'm yet to see a really, really successful scheme working both in practice and also at scale.
I definitely agree with you there, Seb. We just need to continue to push for more prevention measures and also for that wider societal change. So what's next for Beam?
So at the moment, we're in the process of growing beyond London. So we started working nationally over the latter half of last year. And we should be starting work in Wales over the next couple of months, and also Scotland as well. And those partnerships all work through local government. So if anyone is listening and happens to work in local government and thinks, oh, Beam sounds interesting, we have loads of people that could potentially use and benefit from it, do feel free to drop me an email on seb@beam.org. The other way in which we want to try and, expand the work we're doing is by helping new groups beyond just the homeless population. And this has really come from the experience we've had that sadly homelessness crosses over into so many different people's lives. And they could be people who were refugees originally and have just got their right to work in the UK, or people leaving prison who have 100 quid in cash and no idea what they're going to do next. Mm. And we really think it would be interesting to think, how could we tailor and bring Beam to those different groups through the government services that are currently supporting them? So maybe working with the Ministry of Justice to look at better support for people leaving prison, or the Home Office to help people who are coming into the country, particularly pertinent given the Ukrainian refugee crisis. So absolutely. I think those are the sort of two directions we'll go in over the next year or so.
Well, if anyone is listening from the Home Office and the Ministry of Justice, then I think they should be snapping your hand off right now and working with you on that, because it sounds like a fantastic offer there to work together on that particular issue.
Yeah, thanks so much, Kelly.
Thank you, Seb. Thank you for joining us on Tea with the Changemakers. I just want to go away and start scribbling down loads of ideas and, kind of sending loads of emails and telling people to kind of, you know, put their heads together and try and move this agenda forward, really. So, you know, we're not sat here in 5 years' time again, sort of doing the same podcast, having the same conversations. We really do need to move the dial on this one and get this sorted. And it's a real opportunity now to do that.
Totally agree. Thanks so much for having me on, Kelly.
Thanks, Seb, for joining us on this week's episode of Tea with the Changemakers. If you care about homelessness and want to help people who want to change their life for the better and are motivated to put homelessness behind them, then please do check out beam.org. At the time of recording, 32 people were looking for support, including Sandra, who's looking to move into a stable home, Sam, who wants to become a construction worker, David, who wants to become a warehouse operative, Joe, a carer, and many other people who are looking to start careers, get the training they need, or the support to get them into a home. Just a couple of pounds will really help. The same cost as a cup of coffee, it's going to make a massive difference to people's lives. So yeah, please do check out beam.org. It is fantastic. And as Joshua Coombs said in episode 2, no one is above life happening.